Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Tony Dossi, Assistant Administrator for Human Capital Management and Chief Human Capital Officer at NASA. Also joining us in our conversation is Solly Thomas, Associate Partner in IBM's Human Capital Practice. Tony, according to the 2006 Federal Human Capital Survey, NASA ranked in the top three agencies in job satisfaction, leadership, and workplace performance. Why do you think your coworkers think so highly of NASA as a place to work, and what do you think the secret is?
The secret really isn't a secret. It's our mission. NASA is filled with employees at all levels who love what they are doing. They are inspired by supervisors and managers who love what they are doing, and they are surrounded by highly educated, dedicated coworkers who keep the bar high and make for a challenging, exciting environment.
Tony, earlier you mentioned the PMA, so let's delve into that for a moment. NASA was one of the first agencies to achieve a green status in human capital management under the PMA. Could you elaborate on the challenges and your efforts to getting to green, and what does the department need to do to achieve and sustain a green status rating?
NASA got to green quickly because the human capital organization had tremendous support from the administrator and his management team. They believed that the human capital agenda was an agency agenda, and we continue to operate that way, and that is not only how we got to green, but how we have remained green.
So pretty straightforward then.
Yes.
Let me switch gears a little bit. The NASA Flexibility Act of 2004 gave your agency certain flexibilities for recruitment and retention purposes. Could you talk a little bit about some of the flexibilities you were given and which of these has had the biggest impact on recruiting and retaining a high-quality workforce?
Well, we were given over a dozen flexibilities that include enhanced recruitment, relocation, and retention bonuses, expanded use of term appointments, pay authority for critical positions, and enhanced travel benefits and annual leave benefits for new hires. And what works best for us, really, is combining all these different flexibilities into incentive packages tailored to the needs of specific candidates. And that's been a particularly successful strategy for us.
Tony, earlier you had talked about the workforce planning efforts at the agency, and I want to talk a little bit more about that, if you don't mind. NASA's most recent workforce strategy represents a new, more centralized approach to workforce planning. Would you talk about this new approach? What are some of the central components of this new planning process, and how does it better position NASA to meet the demands of its mission?
NASA has a number of initiatives underway to improve workforce planning, which, as I mentioned earlier, is one of our primary goals in human capital. We needed to go from a near-term budget-driven process to a longer-term scenario-based workforce planning process. And we needed to go from center-centric planning to an agency, a corporate workforce planning process. So we established an agency workforce planning governance structure. We enhanced workforce data tools to identify people with programs and to be able to locate expertise across the agency. We've developed workforce capability measures so that we can identify early gaps and surpluses across the agency. And we've established a shuttle human capital council just recently that includes not only NASA HR directors, but contractor HR directors, so we can work with one another as we transition and learn from one another's best practices. And we've integrated, and this is the most important, we've integrated this workforce planning process with our budget process. In addition, we're currently engaging with mission directorates and the centers in scenario planning. We're developing a workforce planner's handbook so that we're all talking a common language across the agency. And most recently, we've started a mapping process. We're developing a process where we can map employees from the shuttle workforce to Constellation program work. And with a strong workforce planning capability, the agency will be able to synergize its ability to meet challenges and perform the overall mission. We're integrating workforce planning with the program, budget, and business support functions, and that will allow us to take workforce planning from the near term that I was talking about to the longer term process that starts as soon as program requirements are defined and as far out as they can be defined.
And staying on the workforce planning topic, NASA's workforce strategy places very strong emphasis on the development of 10 healthy centers that are fully engaged and productive. First, within a human capital context, what is a healthy center? And second, what are the 7 key attributes that you see of a healthy center?
Within a human capital context, a healthy center is one that, first of all, can assess its overall capability of total workforce and has the ability to align that workforce to future work. The second is to be able to surface workforce misalignments that require agency intervention, that is, solving the problem at the agency level. And the third is to be able to shape the size, composition, and the management of the center workforce over time. The 7 key attributes that we use are, 1, core, clear, stable, and enduring roles and responsibilities for a center. 2, clear program, project management, leadership roles. 3, major in-house durable spaceflight responsibility. 4, skilled and flexible blended workforce with sufficient depth and breadth. 5, technically competent and value-centered leadership. 6, capable and effectively utilized infrastructure. And 7, strong stakeholder support.
Tony, NASA's new approach seems to reflect planning and integration at many levels of management. What are the specific benefits of this enhanced workforce planning capability, and how do you feel it better enables NASA to address the workforce challenges and issues?
Well, leaders will be able to identify skill gaps quickly and plan strategically to address surpluses and gaps in a targeted and deliberate way across the agency, and to quickly identify expertise and be able to use it wherever it is needed in the agency.
Tony, it's been said that NASA's workforce is not ideally aligned to the programs and projects that are being undertaken to support the vision for space exploration, and it's commonly referred to as uncovered capacity. Could you elaborate on NASA's efforts to reduce its current uncovered capacity level?
Sure. 2 years ago, we had over 2,000 FTE that we called uncovered, and that translated to far more than 2,000 people. So we went into what we called a transformation mode, and today there are very few what we call now available for new work, quote unquote. To solve the problem, we conducted buyouts and early outs. We held job fairs to place employees within and outside NASA. We used our new legislative authorities. We had hiring freezes. We set tight ceiling controls. We moved work across the agency. We reassigned staff, provided career transition assistance, and we started retraining programs.
Along those lines, could you elaborate on recent NASA initiatives to close the core competency gaps? Specifically, could you tell us about NASA's competency management system?
Yes, the competency management system, first of all, was built in-house by engineers at the Kennedy Space Flight Center, one of whom is still on my staff. And it's an agency-wide competency inventory in a common language populated with both an employee's position and individual competencies. And it enables NASA to know, first of all, what the current competencies are in the workforce, and then, as I mentioned earlier, locate expertise that's required to implement specific tasks. And it's also it gives a good demographic snapshot to enable us to do more in-depth workforce data searches. It aids in the competency gap surplus problem. And it assists in assessing center readiness for new activities. If you use it in conjunction with the workforce planning processes, which we're doing, we can help assess workforce impacts on programs and projects at a greater level of detail. And it also provides then information to our Office of Education so we can recruit students in those areas. And we can help employees in determining how best to expand and develop their careers.
How is NASA managing its blended workforce? We will ask Tony Dossi, Assistant Administrator for Human Capital Management and Chief Human Capital Officer at NASA, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.